The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Jesus, we open our hearts to you this morning. We came not to hear a message or sing some songs or drink some coffee, but we came because our hearts are in desperate need of an encounter with a living God. We've come today to hear your voice above all else. We've come today to sit in your presence and to be healed and restored and loved on, appreciated. So Lord, we position our hearts now to be able to hear from you. We push aside the noise of the world. We push aside the distractions of the day, and we open ourselves to hear from you today. God, as we open your word, may you speak clearly to our hearts. Answer our questions. Heal the wounds. Mend the brokenhearted. Give clarity to unclear situations. God, do what only you can do today. We give you room to be God, to be king of our hearts today. And we listen for your voice. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Harvest. Whew. Was that awkward for anyone else? It was funny. It started and you didn't know what to do. So there was like whispers and snickers, and then it got really uncomfortably quiet, right? And as someone who's literally paid to talk, I have to tell you that was harder maybe on me than it was on you. I felt like I owed it to you to start talking, right? You see, we're in this series called Addicted to Busy, and the thesis is that we live in such a fast-paced, chaotic, crazy, busy, anxious world that without really planning on it or meaning to, we as Christ followers just kind of get sucked into the busy world that we're in. And some of us, I'll admit to it, some of us actually like it. We like being busy. Some of us enjoy, in fact, I've said before, I thrive in busy. I need busy. I want there to be lots of things happening. I'm better in the chaos. Does anyone else, is that kind of how you're wired? Anyone else? And some of you are more like my wife. You're like, oh, I'm not addicted to busy, but I married someone who is, all right? And she's going to help you next week, by the way, while I'm in Mexico with our team. And thank you for your generosity, by the way. While I'm in Mexico, Lisa is going to be wrapping up our series next week in Addicted to Busy. You're not going to want to miss it. She's kind of hoping you do miss it because she's a little bit nervous, but you're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be incredible. Max, yeah, there you go. Little encouragement for you there. Max Lucado wrote this, thinking about our addiction of busy. He said, "We live in a culture where speed is king. I find myself in a hurry, even if there's no reason. We are an uptight generation of compulsive activists. There are 10 times more things to do in a day than anyone can do. And so we feel we are always behind and failing to do all that we could. All we do is respond to stimuli. We want peace, but it just does not fit into our agenda. Peace calls for doing nothing sometimes, and we can't handle that." What does it look like to just do nothing? What does it look like to rest? What does it look like to have this peace that the Bible describes, this peace that can guard our hearts and our minds? We talked about last week, and I love Max Lucado's take on it, that for most of us, peace doesn't fit our agendas. I don't know if you are this way or not, but I live by my calendar. If we're going to have an appointment, if it goes on the calendar, then it's going to happen. If it doesn't make it on the calendar for some reason, it's going to happen. One of the best things that Lisa and I did this last year was we synced our calendar. So when I had something, she sees it. When she had something, I see it. And it's how we live our lives because there's a lot going on. We have three kids and she's got a job and I've got a job. We've got all this stuff going on. And I just wonder, right, if Max Lucado isn't right about this, that we don't have time for peace, that we don't have time for quiet, that we don't have time for stillness. There's a verse in Psalm 46:10 that says this. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Earlier this year, I was meditating on this verse. I wrote it in my journal during a prayer time and was contemplating, what in the world does it mean in this crazy, busy world that we live in to be still and know that I am God? And the Holy Spirit whispered this phrase to my heart, intentional stillness. Intentional stillness. I just want to ask you today, when is the last time that you were purposefully still? When is the last time that you were purposefully quiet? When you shut out the distractions of the world and you slowed your pace down and you were still on purpose? See, the problem with being still is it's countercultural. It's counterintuitive. It honestly, for most of us, it goes against everything inside of us. We're trained from an early age to be busy, to run, to go fast, to go hard, to accomplish, to check the goals, to check the list. We're trained to live in this busy world, and yet there's a very different rhythm that Jesus offers us in his world, in his word. In fact, I would contend with you this morning that there's actually a pattern in the Bible of stillness. There's a pattern in the Bible of getting still and being quiet. We looked at this verse last week, Luke chapter 5, where it's talking about Jesus, and here's his rhythm. It says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray." And if you don't remember the context of this verse, the crowds are pressing in around Jesus. They want to hear his message. They want to see miracles. They want their friends and their family to be healed by the Son of God. They're pressing in. I mean, crowds have shown up. And what culture would say is, you know, strike while the iron is hot. The crowd has shown up. Jesus, you should take advantage. Double your efforts, right? Double down. Do another service. Preach more. Have some more miracles. But Jesus, he does this thing that's so backwards to us. He withdraws in that moment to get away with his Father, to pray, to spend time in his Father's presence. We see this pattern of stillness in Mark chapter 6. Jesus is, he gives an invitation to his disciples. He says to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." You see some similar phrasing as in Jesus' pattern. Come away to this desolate place, this lonely place, to a quiet place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Now, I don't know what this says to you, but in my book, if you're too busy to eat, you're too busy, all right? Like, I try my very best not to skip meals, all right? And if you're too busy to eat, and this is what there's Jesus like, "Guys, you haven't even stopped to eat lunch." And it says they go away in a boat to a desolate place to get by themselves, to change the pace, to slow things down, to get quiet. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 40 that describes what happens when we have this intentional stillness. It says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." Watch this. It says, even youth, even the young people, right? They'll grow faint and they'll get weary. Young men will fall exhausted. Verse 31 says, "But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength." They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. This is the best definition I could find in the scripture of intentional stillness.
I'm not just advocating that you be still for the sake of being still. I'm not advocating that, you know, we all, you know, do the mannequin challenge this morning, right? I mean, see, when I thought about being still actually takes great effort. We were in New York City some time ago, and we were walking through Times Square, which is just a whole nother world there. A lot of stuff going on, and there's people out there dressed up in all different costumes, and they want you to pay them to take their picture, you know, take your picture with them. And I mean, there's just all this stuff going on. And we saw this guy. He was dressed up as the Statue of Liberty, and he was up on this pedestal. I mean, it was a great costume. His face was painted, the whole deal, and he was in incredibly good at being still. And it was one of those where he would stand there and he'd be really still, and then someone would get close and they'd like reach out to poke it, like trying to figure out if it's real or is it a statue. And when they reach out to poke it, he'd go, ah! You know, he'd scare them. And so Lisa and I just watch and we just enjoy, you know, watching this happen, you know. And so I wondered, I'm like, can I be that still? And you already know the answer to that. You're like, Pastor, you have ADHD. No, you can't be that still, right? And here's what I learned as I practice being still, is it's actually incredibly hard. It takes a lot of focus to just be still. But what Isaiah is describing is not, you know, being still to for the sake of being still. It's this intentional stillness. It's waiting in the presence of God, waiting for God to show up, waiting for God to speak into your situation. It's this intentional stillness. I'm not just being still. I'm being still with a purpose. I'm being still in the presence of God, waiting on the voice that changes everything. But what I know is that you have to intentionally choose to quiet the world. You have to intentionally choose to be still. We looked at a passage last week in 1 Kings chapter 19. We were talking about how to handle stress. And we looked at Paul, who handled his stress very well. He had great faith. He stood strong in the face of the stressful situation. But then we also looked at Elijah. And Elijah had a complete meltdown. I mean, he, you know, found himself under a tree saying, God, just take my life now. I don't want to go on any further. And, you know, the angel woke him up with the bread, remember? It was like, you need to eat something. You need to take care of yourself. And then Elijah did something that I'm trying to help you with today. He intentionally got himself into a place where he could be still and quiet in the presence of God. And in that place, it says that he heard the voice of God. He heard, and I'm just telling you, some of you need to hear this morning. Maybe you heard it last week and it didn't sink in. You need to hear it again. For some of you, the thing that you are seeking can only be found by getting still and hearing the voice of your Father. The voice, I'm just telling you, the voice of God will change everything. It will put every piece of your life into perspective. And Elijah found this. He found a cave, and he gets there, and watch this. The Lord says to him, says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of God. Remember? This is he's literally doing what Isaiah 40 has said, right? Wait on the Lord. And so he gets there, and God says, go out and stand there because I'm about to pass by. And then watch what happens. It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But watch this. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then after that, it says, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, watch this, came a gentle whisper. You see, this illustrates what we're trying to get today. Is it's easy to see the wind and the storm and the power and the fire. And it's easy to see that it's all big and loud and visible. But I just wonder this morning, how often do we miss the whisper? How often, you know, so often people will come to me like, Pastor, I'm just so frustrated. I just want to hear the voice of God. I want to know his will for my life. I want to know his will for this situation. I want to know, you know, should I do this? Should I not do that? Should I go here? I want to hear the voice of God. And some of you have been there. It's like, man, I want to. And I wonder out loud with you this morning. I wonder how often we miss the whisper, because there's so much noise in our world. There's so much going on. There's so much busy. There's so much chaos. Some of it we're creating ourselves. Some of it is created for us. And I just wonder, because here's what I've learned, is that the issue is not whether or not God is speaking. The issue is, are we hearing his voice? And part of today, this just be still, is I'm trying to convince you to make time and place so that you can hear the whisper of God. See, there's some benefits when we can still our hearts. I'll talk to you about a couple of them quickly this morning. The benefits of being still. Number one, your soul will find rest. Your soul will find rest. I've been advocating during this series that you should, you know, go home and take a nap. And some of you have been participating in that. And you're welcome for that, by the way. And you should still do that. But here's the deal, is that a nap will only really provide rest to your body. But what the rest I'm talking about is way bigger. It's not just, that's good. I'm glad. Go take naps. Get rested. But the quiet, the still, that this is something our soul longs for. And if we will be intentional about stillness, then our hearts, our soul will be able to finally rest. Probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible is Psalm 23. Most of you probably know this passage, you know, by heart. But listen to the imagery. Okay? Listen to what Psalm 23 says. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." See, lying down, that's the posture of rest, right? He says, look, when you put your hope in the Lord, your trust in the Lord, you're not going to have any more wants anymore. He's going to take care of you, so much so that I don't have to keep going and striving and doing and fighting and pushing, but I can actually lie down in the green pasture. Then he keeps going. He says, he leads me beside the still waters. See, the imagery there of the rest continues. It's not a waterfall. It's not rapids. It's not a raging river. It is still waters. He's lying there in the green pastures next to the still waters. And then watch this. It says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. What I know is that when we're able to slow down, change the rhythm, and find this quiet, this peace, this, right? Our souls find rest. The second benefit to being still is peace. There's a reason that people are searching for peace and quiet. You've heard that said, right? Some of you have said that, right? Some of you moms are like, leave me alone for just 2 minutes of peace and quiet, right? Like, I'm locking the door. Get out of here, right? Some of you said that to your husbands. Mine said it to me. I need peace and quiet, right? I heard someone this week, I just thought this was interesting. They said, why do we live our lives in such a way where we work and work and work and save and save and save so that we can go on an escape from our lives for a week or two of vacation? And I just thought it was an interesting perspective that I really believe is true in America today, is that, because I've heard people say it, like, well, how's your job doing? They're like, oh, I just don't know, but I got vacation coming up. If I can just make it to May, right? If I can just make it to whatever, we're doing this, we're doing that. And I just wondered when I heard this idea of working and saving so that we can escape our lives, I thought there's a different kind of rhythm available to those whose hope is in Jesus. What if we didn't just have peace on a week or two of vacation? What if we had peace like every day? What if we had peace in our jobs? What if we had peace, you know, in our families, in our homes, and in all the different parts of our life? Because that's the rhythm that Jesus makes available to us. We looked at this verse last week, but I couldn't find a better one. I think it's so true. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7 tells us this. Easier said than done. I'll give you that disclaimer right up front. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then here's the promise, right? That when we're doing this, the peace of God, which transcends understanding, which is, in other words, which is unexplainable. It doesn't make sense up here, right? But you feel it in your soul, right? The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And here's what we talked about last week is that that left to our own thoughts, our own patterns, our own left to ourselves, our heart and our mind will run away from us. They'll go, our heart will go to the worst case scenario. We'll begin to get anxious and worry and frustrated and stressed. But the peace of God stands guard against your own thoughts, your own ways. After the early service, one of our friends walked and came up to me and passed me a note. She said, hey, you need to look at that verse in the Amplified Version because I'll just read it to you. The way it says it there, it says, and the peace which transcends all understanding will garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds. It's a military term. It's like, it's active. I'm gonna stand guard so that your heart doesn't get depressed. I'm going to stand guard so your soul doesn't slip down into worry and anxious thoughts. I'm going to stand guard. Right? It's active. I talked to someone after the first service. She came up. She said, Pastor, I struggle with worry and stress and anxiety. Forever. And she said, last week, I got so tired of it. I responded. I came forward and I'm like, I'm done with this. I don't want stress anymore. And she said, you know what? I've had all the same stuff happening in my life this week, all the same situations, all the same things that should stress me out. She said, but Pastor, for the first time in a long time, I didn't feel the stress. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. We're not saying the stress goes away. We're saying the peace of God comes. That's very different, right? It's not that the stress just melts away. It's that the peace of God comes into your life and guards your heart and your mind. But the only way you access the peace is by changing the pace, by intentionally being still, by intentionally being quiet. Here's another benefit of being still is clarity. God's voice gets really loud when we're willing to let the roar of the world get quiet. The roar of the world, see, think of it like two volume switches, right? You've got to turn one down to turn the other one up. So we've got to, this is what quiet does, is you turn the roar of the world down. And when you do that, the roar of the voice of God, the whisper of God increases. I don't know if anyone else does this, but I'll just ask it. Is anyone willing to admit that you sleep with a white noisemaker? Anyone? Anyone white noise? All right, got a couple white noise fans in the house today. So Lisa and I sleep to a white noisemaker because when our oldest daughter Mercy was born, we always had people over the house and we hosted life groups and we had stuff but we had this brand new baby and new, you know, parents, you understand this. The last thing you want to happen is for your baby to wake up when they're supposed to be sleeping, because if they're awake, you're awake, right? You don't want that. So we got a white noisemaker. We put it in her room. We crank that sucker up and she'd sleep through it. But then we realized, but we also need to know if she wakes up. So we put a monitor in our room so we could hear if she cries or, you know, wakes up or whatever. And so what happened was night after night after night, we would hear her white noisemaker through the monitor. And we found that we really liked it. We're like, this is nice. So we went, we bought a white noisemaker for us. And if you were to come into our house tonight, don't, please. That would be really, really creepy. But if you were, you know, we got one in Mercy's room. We've got one in Ava and Eden's room. We've got one in our room. We've got backups. I've got the app on my phone. So when we travel, I love it now. All right. Some of you, this has been the issue of you can't take a nap. Well, you need a white noisemaker. I'm just telling you, right? But see, the idea behind a white noise maker is that it's noise that is designed to drown out other noise. In that kind of, it's kind of a funny concept, right? It's like, this noise bothers me, so I'll listen to another noise to drown out this noise so that I can rest. So I have my white noise app with me this morning, and in case some of you still are on the fence about this, so
So here's a couple of samples, right? So this one's called Train Ride, okay? Let's see if this works. There we go. Don't go to sleep on me, by the way. All right, let's see. So this is actually white noise, all right? This is brown noise, okay? This is my favorite. Hold on. This is pink noise. This is what I sleep to, pink noise. Blue noise, violet noise. This is the rainforest. This is Amazon jungle. I can't do this one because all night I'm wanting to catch the fish and shoot the bird. And, you know, so that one doesn't help me at all. You got waves. Anyone like the ocean? Waves. You got rivers. You got waterfall. Crackling fire. How about this one? Oh, man. That's good, right? All right. I got to stop. You're going to go to sleep on me. All right. So white noise is noise that's designed to drive out or to drown out the other primary sounds. I was in India a year and a half ago and with a group of pastors and we all went to bed one night. We're all in different rooms and I got in my room and I turned my white noise app all the way up and put it right beside my bed and I went to sleep and I slept so good. I got up the next day. I come down to breakfast. Everyone else, all the other pastors, like rubbing their eyes and they're just complaining about, I didn't sleep good. All this. And I thought it was because like the time change, maybe threw their body clocks off, whatever. And we keep talking and I find out that no, that's not why they couldn't sleep. They couldn't sleep because there was a party going on in the hotel on the floor above us. A party that I knew nothing about. I had pink noise all up in my room. And the party got so out of control, there was a fire alarm that went off in the middle of the night. The hotel was evacuated. Except for your pastor. I was sound asleep, right? So there's benefits. There's also some dangers, right? To white noise, right? It did its job. It drowned out the noises that I didn't want to hear that would distract me from rest, from peace, right? But I've also had this happen. I one night I plugged in my sound maker. I was in a hotel and plugged in my phone. But I didn't realize the phone didn't connect. It wasn't charging. So I fell asleep and partway through the night it ran out of power. And all of a sudden the phone died. And here's the interesting thing is when the phone died, the silence woke me up. The lack of sound. Right? It was like all of a sudden, without the noise, the silence was almost deafening. I mean, I woke up like something's wrong, right? It's too quiet. Like, my phone died, right? And this is the idea behind the clarity that comes when we're intentionally still. Is that there are voices there are things vying for your attention all the time. And what we have to learn is, as followers of Christ, is how to turn the noise of the world down in order to hear the whisper of God. There's a term in the Psalms. It's used 71 times in the Psalms. It's called Selah. Selah. S-E-L-A-H. Selah. And most Bible scholars believe that what this word means is something to the effect of stop and listen or maybe pause and think. Or maybe another definition would be let that sink in. Let that sink in. And as you're reading through the Psalms, you got 74 places where all of a sudden there's this word, Selah. Pause and think. So this week I looked up all 74 of them. I went through and I just studied them and I meditated on them. I'll just give you a couple of examples because this is the idea between turning one noise down and turning another up. Psalm 3 verse 4 says, I cried to the Lord and he answered me, Selah. Right? So let it sink in, right? I cried out for help and he answered. Pause and think about that. I asked for help and God responded. Pause and consider the goodness of God. You see the Selah there, right? It's like in the middle, I needed rescue, right? I needed God to show up and he came. Pause. And I don't think we pause nearly often enough nor long enough.
I really don't. It's like something happens, yay, and we move on. And I see this in the Psalms, this idea of the pause, the Selah, the stop and ponder. Psalm 32, 5 says, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my sin. Selah. I mean, what a great moment to pause. I was a sinner, but I confessed, and God was faithful to cover me, to forgive, to restore. Pause and think. Stop and let it sink in. Psalm 57:3 says, he will send from heaven and save me, and he will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Some of you have desperately been wanting to hear the voice of God for a situation in your life. And I would contend this morning that God has an answer for you, but you won't hear it unless you can be intentionally still. I was at my daughter Eden's class this week for a talent show, and the students, you know, took turns doing their song and dance and hula hoop and the stuff that they did. And then at the end, the teacher said, well, you know, parents, while you have you here, we've been working on a recorder. You remember the recorders in music class, the, you know, little plastic flute kind of things, whatever. So we've been working on a song. We want to play it for you. We're like, all right, yay. So all the kids got their recorders out, and the teacher put the music up on the screen, and she says, all right, students, so let's just remember real quick. So this is what note is this? And they all told her what note, and what note is this? And they all told her. And then she pointed to this symbol, and we'll show it to you. It's on the screen. She said, now what is this? And then she gave some instructions. She goes, students, remember, this is not a note. This is the sign to rest. This is the sign to stop, to pause. And then she made this statement. She didn't know what I was preaching, but she sure helped me out. She said, students, the music doesn't make sense without the rest. Doesn't make sense without the rest. And they went through all the music. She goes, all right, students, let's do it. Recorders up, and they all got up. Teacher counted off, and she points to the note, and the whole class went, and it gets to the rest, and one student goes, and I laughed, and all the parents laughed. I don't know whose kid it was probably Lisa's, but we laughed. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he was like, that's you. What? Whatever, right? Like, whatever, I'm such a good rester, God. You know? He's like, what? He's like, whatever, back to me, right? And she got the class. She goes, hey, students, that's the rest. We don't play on the rest. The music won't make sense without the rest. And they all got them, and they went, bah, bah. And everyone, you could see everyone's like, ah. It was so hard to not play the note. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment so clear, because that really is me most of the time. Because I'm the dude with the recorder just blowing away, thinking I'm accomplishing a lot and doing a lot. And now we got to come on. Let's do it. And the Holy Spirit saying, just rest. Friends, your life will not make sense without the rest. You won't hear the voice of God without the rest. You won't know what he's trying to do in your life without the rest. So we're going to respond today. Worship team, you can join me. Let me ask you this question, church. Let me ask you. I want you to get this in your heart. What do you need God to do in your life today? I want you to really get it in your heart. What do you need for God to do in your life today? And here's the challenge, is that most of us, when we answer that question, most of us will naturally go to, so what can I do to take care of that? What can I do? It's like, this situation needs fixing, so what can I do? But I'm going to challenge you this morning. What if God could do more in our rest than he could in our activity? What if, I mean, we spent like half of last year in the Gospel of Mark talking about how Jesus is the king, right? He's got all the power and all the authority. He can, our theme verse, right? God can do anything, you know. Is anyone beginning to believe that this year? God can do anything far more than you could imagine or ask or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, right? Not by, hey, you better do this. Go here. You got to work. Come on. Be busy. Be loud. Come on. No. He doesn't do it. He does it by working within us. And here it is, his spirit deeply and gently within us. It's the whisper. It's that gentle nudge. It's a gentle nudge, that whisper. And I would challenge you today. I believe God can accomplish more in our rest than we can in our activity. But often we don't give him the space to do that, because we're so busy and we're so loud and we're just fighting so hard. And the intentions might be right. But I've been praying over this moment all week long. And I believe that in our rest, that God is going to penetrate impossible situations. He's going to heal and recover and restore. And in other words, he's going to do the stuff that God was always intended to do for us. But we're so busy, we miss it. So I want us to intentionally create just a few moments of intentional stillness, of intentional quiet. I'm just going to ask the worship team to play over us for a few moments. I'm going to ask you. So I'll ask you again. What do you need God to do in your life today? And as you ponder that, could you quiet your heart for a moment? Could you push out the distraction and just listen for the whisper of God? Let's do that together this morning. Let's listen for the whisper. Thank you. How many of you would say that as we got intentionally still, that you heard the whisper of God for your soul, for your situation? Anyone heard the whisper of God? I asked the Lord, I asked the Lord early this morning that in this time that he would get very specific with some who desperately need to hear the voice of God. So I'm going to just do my best to obey where I feel he's leading us. Something very different happened in the first service. And I love this. I love this about the God that we serve is he's very personal. He knows exactly what you need. And he knew some people at 9 a.m. needed something that's different from what you at the 11 a.m. need. So as I prayed this morning, I'm going to kind of teach you. I'm gonna coach you on how to respond to the whisper of God. Often you'll hear a word or a phrase or a sentence, and sometimes it makes like absolute perfect sense. Like you know how to implement it. You know what that promise means. You know what to do with it. But often, and I've just found this so true in my life, often you get a phrase or a word, and it's like the first step in a process of the Lord revealing something to you. And so this is me coaching, is you got to step out somehow in faith in that first word. You got to begin to explore it. So those of you heard a phrase or a word this morning, you're like, I don't know what it means. I heard the whisper of God. Here's what I write it down, put on your phone, journal it something, put a date with it, like make it real, take it back into the presence of God tomorrow or tonight. Go get intentionally still and just ask God, what is this? What is this word? What are you asking me to do? Or what are you saying here?
So I'll model it for you. As we prayed, I heard the word recover. And I don't know who it's for. I don't know what it means. So I'm going to step out in faith. And I'm just going to ask you, if your situation has that word, like, you know, resonates in your heart this morning, the thing you're believing for or praying for has something to do with recover. I won't even try to define it because that's where I'll mess it up. I'll try to spin it in the right way. But does that resonate in anyone's heart this morning, recover? Anyone else? Anyone, a couple of? If that's you, would you stand where you are? If you're able, those that you're like, yeah, there's something there for me. I don't know the situation, but I'm just like, I closed my eyes just like you did. I said, all right, heart, be still. God, what do you want to do today? And I heard the word recover. And I know that this could mean different things to different situations, but here's what I sensed is that, so apply it where, okay, it's up to you to apply, but I felt like there's a death of some kind in your life, and you've been searching, you know, it's like, how do you recover, you know, when I don't know if it's a person or a thing or something has died, and you haven't been able to recover, and I just feel God just pointing out to you today, that he's the God of recovery, that it's not up to you to recover, but it's on him. It's not in the work, it's in the rest. It's so countercultural, right? It's like, no, I got to fix this. I got to meddle and get my hand. I just Spirit of God is just saying today, I am the God of recovery. I've got this, and I'll take care of it. All right. So just stay standing. Church, we just pray over these that are standing this morning. It's a very personal word. They're going to have to wisdom to apply it. So God, I pray for this word of recovery today. Lord, you know what it means. You know in each of these lives, you called it out for a reason. And Lord, I thank you for your confirmation today. I thank you, God, for your love and your encouragement. Lord, I pray over these today that there would be the things we talked about, rest and joy and peace and, God, recovery. God, we pray for that today. We pray that you, the God of recovery, would recover all that the enemy has tried to steal. All that the enemy has tried to take from our friends. You, God, guard today. Stand guard and recover everything that's been stolen. Everything, God. We trust in you today, and we are believing that you are the God of recovery. In our rest, will you do the work today? It's not on us. So, God, we just receive. We receive the work of recovery that only your Spirit can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have one more word that I just had one in the first service. I felt two things in this one. You can be seated. I just heard the word pain. I actually heard the word great pain. Great pain. I don't know if someone's in great pain today. I'm not going to have you stand, but the word was just that God is with you. That you're not alone in your pain. That he hasn't left you, even though you probably feel like he has. He hasn't left you. He's right by your side. And that this is a season that will come to an end. It's not going to define you. Kind of goes with the recovery, but I felt like it was for someone else. It's not going to define you. Church, why don't you stand with me? I'd like to challenge you this week to be very intentional about being still, about getting quiet, about getting into the presence of God. How many of you will do that this week in your own way? Okay? I don't know. Listen, I don't know what it's going to take. Get up earlier, stay up later. I don't know. Do what you got to do. Like, it's life changing when you hear the whisper of God. So fight for it. Plan it. Put it on your calendar. Like do what you got to do to find the quiet where you can hear the whisper of God. All right? Church, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.